In Mark chapter 5, we have Jesus getting off of a ship in Gadarenes. And as soon as he got off of that ship, he was met there by a man that had been in the tombs that had an unclean spirit. He lived there. They had tried chaining this man, but he would always break his chains. And day and night he would be in the mountains crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus, he came running to worship him. And he cried in a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And Jesus then said, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And then he asked, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So the unclean spirits, seeing off on the side of the mountain a herd of hogs, asked to be sent there. And this was not just a small herd. There was about 2,000. And they went into those hogs, and the hogs ran down to the sea and drowned. It was there that Jesus was getting ready to leave. This man had been cleansed, and he prayed to Jesus that he would be allowed to come with him. It is here that we see that Jesus denied his request. And he told him to go home. He said, "Go and tell your friends. Tell them the wonderful things that the Lord did for you. And what compassion was showed on this man in his healing." You know, in this account, it was more than just a miracle. This account that Jesus reveals one of the greatest of services that can be offered to Christ. The service of a testimony of a transformed life. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 22, Paul writes that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. A transformation. This morning we had talked at length about repentance. And now comes the transformation. Part two, if you will, of this morning. Every doctrine, every tenet of faith can be denied. But the one thing that can never be denied is an argument against a righteous life. No one can ever argue that. No one can ever deny that. It is an essential factor in living a life for Christ. Barney and I were speaking this evening a little bit in the auditorium or in the foyer out there before services about this morning. And we had talked about repentance being a 180 degree turn. But for many of us, we understand and know just how difficult it is to stop in your tracks and go the other way. That oftentimes our repentance is a repentance by degrees. That we make changes in our lives a little bit at a time until we get into the other direction. It is our life. It is a life of building. We also have a life of transformation. Paul, in the first two verses of Romans 12, he tells us that by the mercies of God that we present ourselves, our bodies, a living sacrifice. And this is what that transformation is. This is what legion had come about. Christ didn't want him following him. What would that prove? That he was thankful for a new life? Give others that information. Let the others hear the news. We are to be holy and acceptable, not to each other, but to God. He tells us that we cannot be conformed to this world, but we must be transformed. And it's not just the body that's transformed. That comes with it. The transformation of our body, we become physically stronger and healthier when we renew our mind. That transformation comes in there. That we can prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. Yeah, we will look at, if all of us would look back at our lives, we probably, without question, can see the changes that have been made. From the very first time we come up out of that water, from who we are to what we are today. And the older we get, the more it's transformed. You know, Paul in Philippians 3 and verses 7 and 9, he talks about his transformation. The things and that were gained to him, those things that were precious to him, the power that he wielded, the people who were in fear of Paul, he counted all those things for loss. Paul had a great future ahead of him in the world if he stayed where he was at least by man's standards. But he counted all those things a loss. Cause of the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He suffered the loss of all things. But you know, at this point in his life, it never mattered to him anymore. All those things that were in the past, it did not matter. Because now he has the opportunity to win Christ and be found in him. That, my friends, should be our transformation. That is a transformation of life. And you know, when we look back on the life of Paul, you know, I was sitting there this week as I was preparing this lesson, and I'm trying to think if I was to draw or to make a painting of what Paul's life was like, the only thing I could come to was Paul standing on the shore. Nothing but black billowing clouds and lightning and thunder all around him, and a downpour of rain and the waves beating against the shore. And there's Paul on his knees in prayer with a light shining over him. That even through all the things that Paul endured, he was always at ease, always at peace. You know, most Christians agree that this transformation takes place when Jesus lives within us. But you know, there are some folks that really need and want to know how and when this happens. Then Paul gives us the answer in Colossians 1 and verses 27 and 28. And he says here, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory, one and the same. that enters into us, as we find in Galatians 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He enters into us when we obey that form of doctrine that puts us into Christ. It is because of that then that we start walking in the newness of life. You know, I use the term start. We don't start and finish the race as soon as with that first step. We start in running the race. We walk in that newness of life. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Our lives have changed, hasn't it? As we became that Christian, our lives started to change. Certain things began to take more importance than other things. And as these things in Christ increased in importance, the things that we had before decreased in importance until they are set aside. There are a lot of ideas out there that seem good. There are a lot of ideas out there that sound good. There are a lot of ideas out there that are easy to do. But what is the end of those things? You know, if your bumper's falling off of your car and you put it back up with duct tape, is that a permanent fix? Anything can be fixed with duct tape. But I guarantee you, it's not like having somebody replace it or put it on properly, is it? All these fangled ideas, all these simple solutions are just that, duct tape. There's a story of a preacher that just started preaching at this church, and it was a small church, and it was the weather-worn building. And he decided, look, I'm going to go ahead and repaint this church. So he went out and he gathered up the paint, and he realized that he didn't have enough paint to paint that church, and the congregation was so poor they couldn't afford any more paint. So he just started adding water to the paint. And he got out there one Saturday and he started painting, and he a painting and a painting. He finally got it all done. That Saturday night was a rainstorm. And when he was all coming to church in the morning, he was all excited. They're going to see this brand new painted. And he got there and all the paint had washed off. And he asked God, why, God? And God said, paint and thin not. The whitewashed transformation is all that it is. It spruces up the exterior, but it can't get rid of what's underneath. It's still there. Christ dwelling in us is a direct correlation to the measure of His Word. That it is accepted and obeyed. We can read day and night His Word. But if it is not taken deep within our hearts, if it is not obeyed, then it's just the reading of words. Paul said, Colossians 3:16, to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You see, there is no wisdom outside of God. None. It is wisdom that God gives us freely when we ask. When we feast on His words, we actually share in Christ's nature. Philippians 2:5, Paul said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, without feasting on his words, how would we ever know what was the mind of Christ? You know, we can go back and we can read the four Gospels, and we can study that, but have we ever gone back and tried to look and read between the lines a little bit? I'm not saying taking things out of context, adding what's not be added, but actually look in between. And all these different situations, can you just picture yourself, Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, and how he was preaching and teaching? Or when he was rebuking the Pharisees and the scribes. When he was sitting there and drawing in the sand as they were trying to get him to condemn a woman guilty of adultery. Can you imagine his demeanor? This spiritual likeness of Christ can only come about by seeing Christ as he's revealed in Scripture. But it does take us our minds to have to be able to put this into perspective and to picture it. Have you ever looked into the mirror and something was left out? You look in the mirror and your one ear's gone. Won't happen, will it? It will be a direct reflection of what we are. If we are to mirror Christ, when we look in that mirror, we should be just like him. Nothing left out. That we need to walk with him on a daily basis, each and every day of our lives. When we become transformed, it means that we also become enlightened. Jesus in John 8 and verse 12 said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's how I pictured Paul on that beach. He's in that light. There is comfort there. There is strength in that light. We want to be seen as blameless and harmless. We want to be seen as sons of God. We don't want to be rebuked. Even in this crooked and perverse world. But we also want to be a light that shines and hold forth the word of life. Philippians 2:15. Last night, Vicki had asked me if I could go out. Our mailbox has a flower box on the back of it. And she got some flowers yesterday, one to put on. And, you know, they'll last till the first frost, and it's nice, but it looks nice. But there's a problem with that box. It only has one big hole in the bottom of it. So when you pour the water in, it all flows out the bottom. So we needed to make sure it has some drainage. So she asked if I could drill a hole. And, of course, I've got all my tools in the cabinets, right where it's supposed to be, right? That's where you think they are. They sprout legs and they move from cabinet to cabinet. I don't know how they do that. Because I knew in my mind I put them right there. So I'm sitting there looking. Vicki goes in and turns, and it's dusk. It's getting dark. But in that corner on the back porch, it's hard to see. So she turns on the light. And of course, when I opened up the doors, all I got was a shadow. So the one flashlight I have on the back porch or had on the back porch, I dropped it and messed it up so it won't come on. So I go in and get my phone so I could turn the flashlight on there. And I'm looking around. The world is dark, my point. And the world is looking for light. And we are that light. When we're transformed, we are that light. People see it. When you are out and about, whether it's in your job or at school or whatever, who do people come to? They come to you. They can talk to you. They don't feel uncomfortable because you're not judgmental. You're not criticizing all the time. You've got a good demeanor. They like to be in your company. Did anything ever change when you were baptized? Did you feel different? Or did you feel the same? You know, I think if you asked every individual who's baptized, they would have a little bit different take on how they felt when they come out of the water. Some of us may have cried. I'd venture to say that most of us, at least in part, we could agree, felt as if the weight of the world has been taken off our shoulders. Hopefully, since that moment, the objectives in our life have changed. When we sit back and we look at the life we may have lived before, our life was centered on temporary things. We placed more emphasis on the things that we have and our ability to be able to spend more, spending more time relaxing, spending more time on the things that I want, we want. But now our focus has changed. Our focus has changed on what is coming, not what has been. Paul in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. See, that's where our focus is now, looking at that end. In Colossians 3 and verses 1 and 2, he says, and if you are risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your things there, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. If our goals have not changed from our conversion, why is that? That we need to reflect on that. And we need to decide whether we need to make that change or not. You know, this morning we looked at Paul. We looked at him in the beginning in Acts chapter 8, how he was a scourge on the church, how he was dragging people out of their homes. And then I read of what he'd become in Galatians 2 and verse 20. Of being crucified with Christ and that Christ lives in him. But he lives by faith. Even though he's in flesh, he's living by faith. We can go through the book of Acts and we can follow Paul's conversion all the way up to the end and we can actually see his transformation. The way that he dealt with the hardships and the trials and the tribulations. Everything Christ shined through him. Then we look at the example of Christ and his life and we sit there and watch him go through his betrayal and his trial and everything else and we never see him lashing out. He never pleaded for his life. He knew what had to be done. Paul never pleaded for his life. But we do know through Paul's letters that he was ready to go. That there was a part of him that just wanted to leave this earth now and be with the Lord. But as Christ said, you're going to be suffering a lot for my sake. And Jesus wasn't done with him that just then at that point. as we walk before men, Christ should be reflected from us. Or we can stay up here and preach sermons. There is no greater sermon than a transformation that glorifies God in everything that we do. That reaches more hearts and more people than any message ever delivered from a pulpit. Is there a transformation in your life? Paul didn't realize where that journey to Damascus was going to end up. He knew where he was headed and why he was headed there, but he didn't even imagine what was going to happen on that road. But his life changed forever. If you're not a child of God, your life can change forever too by obeying the gospel. By being in Christ, the life ahead of you will only end happily and with joy and with hope. If you continue the present course, it will only end in disaster. The choice is yours this evening. We want to give you that opportunity to obey the gospel. If you are a child of God, think about your life. Has it changed for the better? If not, you need to ask yourself, why not? And if you need the help of the brothers and sisters here in Malden, we want to give you a hand out and a hand up to be able to help you through those times. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.